Hey, Grove City, did you know the new Nationwide Children's Close to Home Center is now open at 1350 Stringtown Road? Get access to urgent care, lab services, therapies, and more from the trusted experts at one of America's top 10 children's hospitals, now closer to your home than ever before. Visit nationwidechildrens.org/grovecity for information about our services and make an appointment for your child today.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how you doing on a Way Back Wednesday, where we once again struggled with a topic, but because at least the two of us in studio today have hearts, that would be Nick Sciarra filling in for Barry Laminack.
What is going on?
What's up, man?
Doing great.
I'm here, and Jose Partida
behind the glass
for Nick Sciarra behind the glass.
What up, guys?
Jose, don't try to be nice now.
We've got something in the works, too. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it on the air, though, Jose.
I don't think so.
Okay, then I won't say it.
But I'm always nice to you, Joel. What
Why are,
you are
we
about?
Teasing something that you cannot say?
Well, I want to tease people because it's something, it's big. It's big news.
You're a big fan of blue balls, huh?
Yeah, I guess I am.
Okay.
So Kirsten Spike is leaving us. For those who don't know, she's like a she's a huge asset here.
Yes, she runs the place.
And I was so we did the farewell songs in honor of Kirsten
Spike. Let's get that out of the way. Yeah. So we finally decided, Nick and I made an executive decision because Barry was sleeping this morning, that Way Back Wednesday will be songs that are goodbyes or farewells pre-2000 in honor of Kirsten leaving us.
Yes. And so what I figured, because, you know, word has it that people were speaking so highly of Kirsten,
mm-hmm.
and that's how her new employer found out about her. You know what I mean?
Look at that.
So, and this is a big deal. We can't let this happen. This is like LeBron taking his talents to South Beach. We can't let Kirsten go to another employer. So I figured we trash her on air now and her trash her work ethic now. That way she never leaves Gal Media.
She has to stay?
Yeah.
Well, what was all the rumblings that I heard that she had hired Jim Gray and she was going to make the announcement in terms of when she was leaving to take her talents elsewhere? That was the question.
She's going to sign a multi-year contract and just leave us.
See, that's just, it's just dirty.
Yeah.
It's dirty. All these people who have been so good to you, not none of which, I guess, sign your checks. But at the same time, those of us who've always looked out for you, taken you under our wing and made sure that you were, you know, warm and safe and had good, you know, meals and everything like that, and you and your husband were happy.
Mm-hmm.
And now you just flat out just like Jim Irsay and the Colts. You're just grabbing a moving van, you're sliding out from under us and leaving us.
Yep. So new employer, we retract all the good things that we said about her, and it's all fabrication.
I'm not going that far, but I will say that we're going to miss her greatly.
Absolutely.
Because, again, she runs the place.
No, I always say hard work stinks, and that's the reason why she's getting the opportunity that she's getting. So
you can't be mad for keeping Kirsten. Someone down from a bigger, better thing, and bigger and better opportunities were bound and determined to happen for her. So we wish her the best. She's here till Friday.
Yep.
She will be, I'm sure, indulging heavily in water at Nick's place on Friday.
And she did hook me up with some salt grass today. So thank you very much for that, Kirsten.
Yeah, thank you, Kirsten.
And Joel.
Yeah, I was the one that told Kirsten, please put a plate aside for
well,
Nick.
Well, I thanked you via text.
Yes, you did. So you got your food. You're don't take a nap on me because now you've had steak and you're chilling on a full stomach.
And it feels toasty in here. By the way, the weather is gorgeous.
Yeah.
And for anybody complaining about Houston not having four seasons, I just don't care. I'd take this over snow any day of the week.
See, I'm with you. I got out of snow as fast as I could because I'm telling you, once you've shoveled it and dealt with slush and all the other crap and salt on the road and all the other things, it's not just joyous little snowflakes coming down that you can, you know, catch on your tongue and build snowmen with. It's a whole lot of work and it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. No question. By the way, I'm about to tweet out the list. That way Jose can get the first song for you. I'm going to tweet it out for you right now because I know
you're
I didn't send
first
it to
hour?
You. Yeah, because you know how I, you know how the first hour has one song short.
Yeah.
And you know how I like to cut corners.
Yes, you do.
So, yeah. I usually go last because I'm never prepared. This time I was actually prepared. And by the way, when I saw your list and you had Boyz II Men, I immediately checked, went to see like when I sent my list. And it was literally 1 minute after you sent it. You were 10:46 and I was 10:47.
Thank you very much. That's... Early bird gets the worm. I was early today. Yes, but you know what? You and I left the station yesterday and we were completely perplexed. Like, we had a whole bunch of suggestions from listeners, but we never decided on anything. And then, I'm not going to call you out, but you said you were going to send a text message to the both of us so that we could figure out what we were going to do. And that didn't happen. So I was like, okay, this morning, before I get trumped three different ways on a whole bunch of songs and I get screwed with a really bad list, I better just try and be proactive. And then no one responded again. You finally said, let's make a decision. I'm like, well, let's just do it for Kirsten because then I can get on it.
Yeah, that was Joel's idea. No question. No doubt. Because I just wanted to get a theme going because I didn't know if we were going to, you know, get our songs in time on time.
I was worried about that. You never worry about being on time because normally you're concocting a list at about like 1:59. I mean, I'm 12:59.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah,
true.
So what else now? Because we, you know, you normally are behind the glass doing 18 different things. We don't get a chance to use this opening segment to talk about non-sports stuff going on in our lives. You've had quite a busy 24 hours.
Yeah, I actually had to wake up, and actually, I kind of wanted to make it like a theme for the show, like. Guys, you can call in and tell me this if you have a story similar to the one my brother experienced. But I have to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and you know I don't like waking up early at all. Not that early. I'm an early person, but not that early. My brother was very upset, punched the door, broke his hand really, really bad. In a minute, I'm going to tweet out a picture of the X-ray. He has two massive like bolts in two of his fingers,
screws
in his fingers.
Jeez.
Or on the fourth and fifth finger right now.
So at least we know it runs in the family, this temper thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you have a story like that, he was, you know, angry with his employer, took it out on the door. The door won. And it was a bad break. So if you have a stupid injury story, 713-780-3776, because I always think that's funny. But you can't be like, it can't be like a story where I was playing basketball and I tore my ACL. Because that's, you know, that's not a shocker. It's got to be a good story, like a stupid injury story. You did something, you punched the wall.
I got a stupid injury story because that stupid Anthony Barr landed on the best quarterback in football's collarbone and 13 screws and two plates later, my team's not making the playoffs.
I told that to my brother, too. I was like, Aaron Rodgers has 13 screws. You're only dealing with two, okay? So calm down.
Yao Ming in his foot had several screws.
Oh, he did? Oh, yeah. They pretty much had to reconstruct his ankle, right?
When he had to go through like the metal detectors at the airport, when he actually had to go through a real airport instead of skipping by with the rockets, that was going to be a problem because of all the screws in his foot.
Yeah. I think he has to inform the airport too, right? Don't you have to do that?
Like, I think so. I think Jose has to do the same thing with his implant. Right, Jose? Jose, right?
Is he?
Sure. I kind of missed the conversation.
Well, that's what I figured. You were doing your best, Nick, but you have to actually engage in the conversation to be part of it. Otherwise, I'm going to find a way to call you out.
I don't know if I can do my best, Nick Sober.
When you travel through airports now, do you have to let them know that you have an implant? Because it will show up, will it not, on the security?
I don't travel much.
Oh, okay. So that's one other way to get around it. You take the bus and the train?
Sure.
Okay. All right. I was just checking.
I just tweeted out the list. Sorry, man. I know I'm slacking, but I was trying to do multiple things
at one time. You're multitasking.
But yeah.
So your brother's going to be okay.
It's
going to be a little bit more drawn out.
I imagine it's
eight weeks.
I'm about to tweet out the picture. It's disgusting. I was just cringing. I felt bad. And by the way, the funny part about it is that after we left, the nurse or whoever was helping him, you know, with the wheelchair to the car, that part. She was like, make sure he doesn't lift anything or do any heavy, you know. I'm like, no, we actually need him to mow the yard and do it. Of course he's not going to lift anything. He's got two screws in his fingers. But yeah, that's crazy. So if you have a stupid injury story, if you did something, like I said, it can't be like
a... We got one already. We're going to get to Jeremy in a minute. He's got a crazy injury, so that's good.
I got to check the text line, but I'll do that shortly.
You have any broken bones?
No, I've never had a surgery, thank God.
Me either. Knock on formica? I haven't either. I've never had a
surgery. I had my tendon knocked out of my joint, but they just put a splint, and it was like four weeks.
No, I will say this. I had, they never could find it on an x-ray or an MRI, but they believe I had a hairline fracture in my foot that put me in a walking boot for like 5 months.
Really?
Yeah, at one point. But never could confirm a broken bone.
That sounds awful.
It was painful.
I was in a walking boot from a soccer injury, but they told me it was such a bad sprain, it would have been better if it was broken.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I was in a walking boot for something that was not even broken.
Mine, crazily enough, I went to the gym to run on the treadmill and forgot socks. So I bought some at the front desk, and they happened to be double padded. And I didn't realize you're supposed to buy your running shoes a half size to a full size bigger because your foot actually expands when you're running or doing anything athletic like that.
Yeah.
And so I was unaware. And because of the congestion that it was caused in my shoe based on the thick sock and how tight it was, that I suffered a hairline fracture that felt like I was literally stepping on nails for about 5 months.
Ugh.
It was not enjoyable.
I dislocated one of my fingers once.
Yeah.
And when I went to the doctor, to the emergency room, they casted my whole arm. And when I went to the physical therapist like a week later, he was like, well, they might as well have casted your whole body. There's no reason for you to be in a cast.
Really?
Could you not sue the hospital then?
Well, I don't know.
Didn't want them to tell the embarrassing fact of how you sprained the finger and that they had to actually remove it?
No, I played it. I did it playing soccer.
Oh, you sure?
Yeah.
That's what you tell people now?
No. That's what I've always told people.
All right. I just thought you were checking the doorbell on the back door. I didn't know. Just checking. All right, so we got a full show for you today, so we want you to be a part of it as always. Nick and I are going to be here with Jose, and we'll take you through the rest of the week. But today in particular, we have a full show because we'll have Ben Reiter on. He's the guy that predicted the Astros would win the World Series in 2017. That came true. He also predicted on our airwaves with this very show a while back that the Astros would repeat, which is interesting because now there's lots of baseball news that we need to get to, including news of the day with a big trade and a big injury, one of which kind of had implications for the Astros. So we'll talk to him about that. Then John McMullen of ESPN 97.3, a national NFL a writer and media member, as well as a guy who covers the Eagles, going to be on to talk about the Eagles playoff push with Nick Foles at quarterback and all the different things going on with the playoff scenarios in the NFL. So that will be great as well. And of course, your participation is always not required, but we do appreciate it. So if you want to call 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, call, text, or hit us on Twitter where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at
Par J94.
You're going to have to work on that. You're not a golfer.
Joel will be the first to tell you to change your Twitter handle. He started
a
campaign.
He changed it twice and both names suck.
For mine.
Joey Game 94. Is that better?
What is it?
Joey Game 94.
Better. Fair.
All right.
Yeah. I got a couple for you, but I don't know if they're ready for airwaves. All right. So if you want to get with us, ParJ94 is Jose's on Twitter, and he is the master planner and normally a great DJ, but he's going to be forced to play what we tell him to play on a Wayback Wednesday. Nick's got the hour number one. It is a farewell to Kirsten with our Wayback Wednesday. We'll be back with more on the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. When it was always about to hit me, I
wonder how it's going to be. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
So thanks to Siri, Nick's second selection is being played right now.
No, I knew this song. Google the artist. I did have to Google the artist. I'm not gonna lie. But even with that other song that's on the list, Shout.
Yeah.
I knew the song. I just couldn't remember the artist.
Tears for Fears.
I honestly couldn't.
So this one though has been remade like 85 times.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that.
Nylons is one of them.
Is that Scandal? That's not the. That's the.
That's Patti Smith.
Yeah. There's a couple on YouTube. I know what you're talking about, Ola, because I noticed it on YouTube. But yeah, I figured this was like one of the better ones.
That's been this song has been remade several times. The covers of this song is very, very large list. Right, Jose? Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. With that being said, Nick, because you opened this can of worms, now get ready because some of these probably will be a little bit disturbing.
Yeah.
But we've got stories on the horizon of crazy injuries. Oh, and by the way, This goes with there's a pitcher now in Major League Baseball I was reading about. There is a pitcher in Major League Baseball for the Rangers that has a ranch in Venezuela, and a bull scared him yesterday. And he fell, because he was scared, he fell and landed on his non-pitching elbow and fractured and cracked the elbow of his non-pitching hand. He's going to be out up until May.
Mm.
That's a freak injury.
That's not what you want to happen.
No, no. But we'll have more stories like that, but I guess we're going to also get them from the listeners. Jeremy was first up. He wants to get in here with a crazy injury. Jeremy, what's up?
What up, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good,
what's going on?
Okay, about 5 years ago, we had this party and had one of those giant water slides, and a couple of my friends went down at the same time, and one of them was a real small guy, and he went over the edge, and my other friend, who's a large guy, went over the edge and landed on top of him, so me being stupid, I jumped off the slide, seeing if they were okay, and I landed on my ankle and broke it, and nobody believed that I was hurt. They were just standing there looking at me as I'm screaming in pain, so I punched the ground. And ended up spraining my wrist very, very badly.
No, you got two injuries.
Double whammy,
for the rest
man.
Of the summer.
That sucks. So did you get any screws or anything? Like, what about the hardware?
They just wanted me in a walking boot. It wasn't like a very severe break. It was more like a severe sprain with like a little break. But they were just like, yeah, you can be in a walking boot for a couple of weeks and you'll be fine. It could have been worse, but it was just embarrassing more than anything.
All right, that's not bad. That's not bad. That's a good starter story. We appreciate the phone call, man.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, we're talking about the soccer injury that I had, and they told me that a sprain was worse than a break.
It can be, for sure.
And I'm still shocked at that. I think that's crazy. But Sam, what's up, man? What's your story? Welcome to the program.
What's up, fellas? Hey, first off, man, I've been listening to you guys forever. Love the show, and I drive around all day. I run a pool company, and so I'm with you guys every single day, and this is definitely a segment for me. I broke just about everything on my right side of my body, but last year in a Houston rec league, I broke 15 bones in my facial structure.
Ooh.
And broke my skull in two different places, ruptured a nerve in my cheek, had hemorrhaging blood in my eye, broke my nose, and a small part of my jaw, all from a header.
So from soccer?
From soccer, yeah. I broke my elbow playing soccer. I broke my wrist twice playing soccer. I broke my hand playing soccer.
Dude, what are you... What was in the ball? Lead?
It was the dude's head. The dude missed the ball and drove through my head.
Oh,
and knocked me out and
man.
Crunched half my face in.
Jeez, I was like, when you said rec league, but you didn't say what it was, I was like, well, it could be football. When you started to rattle off all the injuries, I'm like, yeah, you know, something happened in football or maybe a really bad basketball game. But soccer makes sense.
People thought it was an accident, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the guy for the Dynamo that they make wear the headgear with all the padding around? It looks like he's actually wearing a soccer ball in his head because he's had too many concussions. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Peter Cech of Arsenal, the goalie, he wears that.
One of the guys from the Dynamo in previous years. I think they ended up trading him either this year or last year. But one of the starters for the Dynamo had a black headgear, fully padded, like they make the kids wear in high school for practices and stuff now to try and avoid concussions because he had too many concussions.
I can see that happening. There's so many preventative measures that they're looking to look into. But
nowadays in high school football, on top of your helmet, they have these like inflatables to try and avoid concussions in practice.
To like absorb more energy, I guess.
Yep.
I mean, that's the whole goal, honestly, is what kind of technology can you develop to absorb more energy? That's the whole goal. Even Warren Moon had, I don't know how good that business is going to do now, but he had a helmet that was designed for the NFL that he was trying to promote that was supposed to take energy. A little bit better.
Because back in the day, remember, he got hit so many times that he was the initial guy that was marketing the flak jacket, and he had so many rib injuries that he was the one on national TV where he'd put on the flak jacket and someone would whack him in the ribs with a baseball bat, and he would talk about how he didn't feel it.
Yeah, yeah, that's insane to me. So I can see them doing that. I mean, they even had those little, they had those little. Head protect. I don't know if Taylor wore it when she was a kid, but for babies.
No, I have friends that they're because of the way their skull develops, they have to.
It's
wear
not.
That.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's not necessarily for protection. It's to help develop.
Now, kids in her school are going to probably start wearing them so that she doesn't beat the hell out of them.
Yeah, I was just about to say
that's something that thankfully she didn't have to wear. By the way, it was Martin Perez, the pitcher for the Texas Rangers. suffered a broken radial head in his non-pitching elbow in an incident with a bull. The bull scared him. He fell on his elbow. He suffered the injury. He's out till at least May. Crazy, right?
Yeah, that's just a freak. That's just... I've been cringing all day. I don't even know why I asked for this, but...
Oh, you asked for it, because now they're lining up.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. You pick.
Whoever's waiting the longest, I don't know. Andrew, let's go with Andrew. Andrew, what's your story?
How's it going, guys?
What's up, man?
How you doing?
Pretty good. So, I was in the Marine Corps back in 08-12, and so we just got back from California for doing training before we were going to go to Afghanistan. And so me and a buddy decided to get a 30 rack and started drinking. And the next morning I wake up, look at my left pinky, and it's cut down to the bone and dislocated. Still to this day, never quite figured out exactly what happened, but had to go to the hospital. It's been 3 days. They talked about nerve damage, and they were possibly going to have to amputate it, but thankfully I still got all 10 digits.
Good Lord, man. Now, obviously, even if someone told you this is what happened, you couldn't verify it because you were hammered.
Yeah, complete blackout. I guess wandered off or something. Roommate woke me up the next morning. Hey, man, there's a bunch of blood on your pillow. Like, are you all right? And kind of looked at my hand and...
Oh, that's the worst.
Not my proudest moment, but 4 in the afternoon, was still at a 1.4 BAC when I went to the hospital.
Wow. You go ahead and get that done, sir. Good Lord. At least you know you've got a career in world championship drinking if they ever need somebody like that.
Right.
Man.
I appreciate it, fellas. Y'all have a good afternoon.
Good stuff, buddy. Happy holidays. All right, let's go before the break. Let's get one more in, Nick. Let's go to Chris. Chris, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing today, man?
Good, man. You?
Hey, doing good. I heard y'all talking about stupid, crazy injuries. I was about 12 years old and was walking around the front of my townhouse to see if the window was unlocked because our stepmom wasn't home yet. Walking up to the window and tripped over a bush root, and your first reaction is stick your hands out, right?
Well, yep.
Went straight through the window. Piece of glass was still stuck in the frame and gave me about a 13-inch scar down my forearm, about an eighth of an inch deep.
Yikes.
Didn't even realize until I got up because I was so embarrassed. I was wiping my arm, and I was like, why is my arm so wet? What in the world is going on? Looked down, and there's blood just gushing everywhere.
Oh,
thank God. About 300 townhouses down, there was an ex-National Guard dude who took me in and helped patch me up. All because
Lord.
Of a bush root.
That's crazy.
I'm a clumsy fool, man.
Well, I mean, I hope that you take preventative measures now and make sure that you stay away from bush roots.
Yeah, yeah, that's...
No doubt, I'm always looking around down when I'm around bushes, man.
That's a gruesome injury.
Man, you ain't kidding.
I just tweeted out my the two screws that you see in my brother's fingers at the producer Nick on Twitter, and I got a couple tweets that we can get to on the other side of the break as well.
Chris, we appreciate that call, man, and you can keep them coming in. We'll keep it a constant theme throughout the show if you want to give us crazy injuries. I just looked up some of the craziest injuries in sports history. Some of these... just plain stupid idiots out
there.
Yeah. All right, so we'll continue to roll on this one right here. Good Lord, I'm glad you took it, not me, because I saw it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't play it because of the damn
she's
dog
not in the
commercial.
Control room. I wonder how she would react to this one. She'd be like, this is awkward.
Is this the Sarah McLachlan song?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the one that they run every time they show every sad dog in America.
Exactly.
When they try to get you to donate. I can't even watch it.
Do they still run that commercial?
Oh, yeah. And it's like 3 minutes. It's like the full song. They don't just do a 30 or a 60. It's a full freaking song. God. And my wife wants to give them our house by the end of the commercial. I'm like, turn it off right now. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. 1:30 starts the festivities, Nicholas, as we have
Ben Ryder
joining us, the Sports Illustrated writer who picked the Astros to win the 2017 World Series.
Remember that Sports Illustrated cover?
Yep.
He was the one responsible.
That's right. And he's predicted him to win it again. And I think that was before the Yankees acquired Giancarlo Stanton. So
yep.
We'll have to ask him about that. And a big trade in Major League Baseball today, as well as a big injury. He will join us next. So stay tuned for much more of the Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. Standing on the edge of something much new.
Mm-hmm. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects, half hour into hour number one of the three-hour big show extravaganza. That is Nick and Joel as Barry is taking some well-deserved time off. Jose's yep. behind the glass, and we're now joined by the man that is a legend in this town. We actually even let him save face after he made a proper prediction and picked the Astros to be the 2017 World Series champs, and it came to fruition. There were some other things in which he was contemplating running for mayor of this town that got in the way, but we let him save face and said, predict next year's champion, and he said the Astros could repeat. So without further ado, I bring in Ben Reeder right now. And Ben, I have a question for you right off the top. Your prediction, which was with us, was well before the Yankees made any moves. Does Giancarlo Stanton's addition to the Bronx Bombers change your feeling in any way?
It complicates things a little bit. I'll say that when a team that took the Astros to Game 7 of the ALCS adds the National League MVP, it might change the calculus a little bit. But still, I think, guys, if you look at the Yankees pitching staff, specifically the rotation, it's good. Severino, Tanaka, Sabathia, it's solid. But I think that's where the Astros maintain the leg up. You know what? Let's double down. I'm sticking with Houston.
Love it. Now, so you're assuming they're going to bring Sabathia back in New York?
Yeah, I think they are.
And Sonny Gray. So what about what the Astros have done so far to this point in the offseason? Everybody was clamoring for them to make a move. Everyone in the division seemingly made a move before they did. They did add two arms. They have a set-up meeting with Yu Darvish, which seems to be rather interesting. Something tells me Yuli Gurriel will not be part of that. But what's the logic there with another starting pitcher, and what do you like or dislike about what the Astros have done so far to this point?
Well, look, we know the Astros are not an organization that acts rashly. They're an organization that measures a dozen times before cutting once. They're never going to make a move just to make a move. So, no, do I think that the additions of Joe Smith and Hector Rondon are getting fans excited down there at this point? No, I think they're probably smart additions to lengthen that bullpen that, you know, clearly last October need a little bit more length. But I think they're really waiting in what's been a very slow developing market, aside from a few big moves, to see what shakes out. I think that I would be surprised if they end up adding Yu Darvish, given how deep the rotation is now. You're looking at not only Verlander, Keuchel, McCullers, Morton, Peacock, but you're looking at some fast rising minor leaguers like Forrest Whitley. I know he's young. This is a guy who struck out 14 batters per nine in the minors last year. I would think that he would probably be up at some point this season. But look, the Astros have a value-based view of these things if they think, perhaps because of what they did to him in the World Series last year, that the value for Yu Darvish will exceed significantly, perhaps, what they'd have to pay for him. Sure, they'd add him into the mix.
Well, let me ask you this.
That's what they're all about.
Do you think that they're looking at another starter because what they did in the playoffs worked so well that they're thinking about a Charlie Morton and or Lance McCullers move to the bullpen?
Yeah, I think that could be an idea. They're all about options, right? And this is one option. Like, if they get a half price somehow, Yu Darvish, all of a sudden you have a much better bullpen because you slide Peacock or McCullers, as you say, down there, and then you've got Verlander, Keuchel, and Darvish at the top. You know, that's one option. I'm sure at this point they've got 100 of them, but that's why they're meeting with you, Darvish.
Ben, I want to get back to the Stanton deal because I just, you know, obviously it's intriguing in a lot of ways. And if you look at his numbers, you got to be happy with what he's been able to do on the field. But if it were to not work in New York, what would be the reason in your mind?
I think it will work in New York. If it were to not, it would be for one reason alone, which is injury. You know, obviously Stanton has, over the past several years, shown a propensity for injury. You know, not all of them were his fault. Like, getting hit in the face with a fastball is not something you could blame Giancarlo Stanton for. But look, he's a different type of baseball athlete. I've spent a lot of time with him in the past. I've seen him, you know, chugging up the stairs, up and down the stairs at UCLA at the track stadium there with a 45-pound weight vest on him. This is like a football player playing baseball. Sometimes guys with bodies like that, you know, don't hold up. That would be the one reason. I think there'll be absolutely zero problems if he stays healthy as far as performance, as far as fitting into New York, as far as coexisting with Aaron Judge. I mean, the Yankees had every reason in the world to do this, kind of fell into their lap thanks to the no-trade clause. And, you know, what a boon to a team that probably doesn't need too many breaks.
All right, so let's get back to the Astros for a second, too. We all know Ken Giles had his problems. We know that one of the things the Astros were rumored to be looking at was, instead of just plain simply bullpen help, but another closer. One of the guys that they had zeroed in on last year with a trade that, if you believe what you hear, was vetoed by the Peter Angelos and the ownership group of the Orioles, was Zach Britton. Now we're hearing Zach Britton has ruptured his Achilles, which pretty much poo-poos any chance of a deal there. What are your thoughts on the Astros closer situation with Ken Giles and or trying to find it elsewhere? Because I don't think they're going to want to pay big dollars for Davis and some of the guys that are still out there.
Right. Well, I think that they're going to want to give Giles every chance to re-earn the job. You know, maybe there is something to this, you know, slippery baseball in the World Series thing, especially for a pitcher like Giles who does throw so many sliders, you know. Maybe if that's not true, they can just kind of convince him that it was true, and then he can start fresh or something, right? Like, I think they want Giles to win the job, and then they have this deep bullpen behind him. Look, the fact of the matter is, however, that signing a quality reliever of any type is very expensive on this current market. Like, those are the one type of free agent that is going, and it's not even the top closer guys. If you look at the contracts signed by people like Brandon Morrow by the Cubs, Mike Minor, you know, Jake McGee. These guys are getting, you know, $8, $10, $12+ million a year. So the idea that you're going to get a cheap guy to come in and potentially compete to be the closer is probably not a genuine one, or at least it's not a realistic one. So their options are really probably to pay up for somebody like Wade Davis, who's the top closer on the market, or, you know, this is what they're trying to do with Darvish, maybe. Maybe if relievers are paid too much, then a top starter like Darvish is being underpaid, and they could get value out of him in that way and moving other guys down to the pen.
What do you think of a potential Tim Lincecum return, and do you think they should drug test him?
Do you see those pictures?
Yeah.
He's massive.
Holy cow, man. That is not the Tim. I mean, we're used to thinking of Tim Lincecum looking like the kid from Dazed and Confused, right?
Yes.
Kinda like skinny, the long hair.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy looked like somebody from The Program, you know, that football movie. In those photos posted from his training session at Driveline Baseball up in Washington. Look, I don't know. Like, I haven't seen him throw. Sometimes when guys change their bodies that much, it messes with them, or at least messes with their ability to stay healthy. But I think it's, you know, just great for the game that this guy's obviously working so hard at this. And, you know, he's a much better game with Tim Lincecum in it than it is without him.
All right, and why don't you get to the news of the day that we haven't touched on yet, but big news across Major League Baseball. Evan Longoria, Mr. Tampa Bay Ray, traded to the San Francisco Giants. The impact that it might have on San Francisco, because they don't have a ton of young prospects coming up, but they are trying to hang on while they still have Buster Posey and company. What does that do for the Giants, and are the Rays just, again, in a total rebuild, restart mode?
Well, I think the trade is really interesting and really problematic in a lot of ways. I like it from one perspective, which is that the Giants are going for it. You know, a lot of teams have spent $198 million to lose 98 games, but try to pack it in and, you know, restart the rebuild process now. That's not what the Giants are doing. They kind of are zagging when everyone else would zig by signing Evan Longoria. And they certainly needed a third baseman. Like, that was a black hole last year. They got 9 home runs from their third baseman last year. So Longoria should help. So I like they're going for it, all right? That's great. I don't like necessarily the choice of Longoria. He seems to be declining at a 737 OPS last year. He only hit 20 home runs. He just turned 32. I'm not sure that he's the guy. I don't like it from a sentimental perspective, and that if there's one thing for Tampa Bay Rays fans to hold on to over the years, it was Evan Longoria's presence. And he was signed to this long-term contract. He'd been there for 10 years, supposed to be there for six more. He's supposed to be there. Derek Jeter down there. Now they got nothing. Yeah, maybe another rebuild or at least a quick rebuild. And I also don't really understand it in the context of the free agent market if you're the Giants. Like, they gave up Christian Arroyo, who's their top prospect, for Evan Longoria when, you know, there were certainly viable alternatives on the market. Todd Frazier, for example, is a guy I thought could have fit very well there. They probably paid him less than Longoria and not have to sacrifice the prospect. Teams are very, very afraid of the free agent market this year, and I guess this is another signal of that.
Do you see the Astros? I know with the retirement of Carlos Beltran, there was, and because of their catcher situation, kind of having a couple, an opening or two, and with the DH open and them needing another bat, not that they need one, but they were contemplating adding one. Do you still see them spending the money to go out and get someone on the open market, whether it be a catcher or otherwise, to try and fill some of the DH slash backup catcher role?
Definitely. I think they will definitely try to fill that spot. You know, look, at the beginning of the offseason, I suggested in my annual free agent rankings on SA.com that J.D. Martinez is the guy that should be going after to play DH. I mean, talk about making a splash and also kind of telling a nice story as far as his return to the team that
right.
cut him back in 2014. That would be an incredible fit. Perhaps there's a chance the market won't develop for him and he will kind of fall down to them. But just look at the names out there who cannot get a job, it appears, who can give you a lot of power and pop, you know, not just Martinez, but, you know, Hosmer, Moustakas, Jay Bruce, Carlos Gonzalez.
And Lucroy was the guy that was rumored a lot as the winter meeting started.
Who was that?
Jonathan Lucroy.
Yeah, Lucroy, you know, a guy they've kind of had their eye on for years. There are so many options, and not all of these guys are going to sign big contracts. So, yeah, I certainly think they'll add somebody, and I would guess they would add him for less than the $16 million they gave Beltran last year.
No question about it. All right, we know you're busy, so we appreciate it. But before we let you go, are you sticking with your pick? Are the Astros the pick to win it again next year?
Yeah, man. I'll stick with it for now. Let's do it.
All right, we're not going to let that for now slide. We'll catch up with you again, but we do appreciate you not only looking out for the hometown team, but always being willing to join us. Ben Reiter, and by the way, it's spelled R-E-I-T-E-R. You can get Ben Reiter on Twitter and follow him. He's great for getting you all kinds of inside information. And, of course, read his column on SI.com, as he mentioned, as he continues to follow Major League Baseball. Ben, thanks so much. Happy holidays to you and yours, and we'll look forward to catching up with you in the new year.
Thanks, guys. Same to you, and talk to you soon.
There you go. Good stuff from Ben Reiter from SI.com, who has picked the Astros to win it again. So, again, you can like him because he didn't.
He knew he was on in Houston. Come on, Ben.
But the last time we had him on, he was wavering on some things and kind of waffling on his prediction for the World Series and if it would come through. And then
we can't let Ben Reiter slide.
Then I told him he couldn't run for mayor. But okay. Now the yard signs are up. Ben Reiter for mayor because he's picked the Astros to win it again. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Clayton, we're not even sure we're going to take your call after some of the you hanging up early yesterday. And you're a Saints fan, so we will hold that against you. But Nick's inquiry into crazy injury stories continues, and I've found some in the sporting world that some might make you cringe a little bit as well. We'll continue with much more of the usual suspects. Don't go anywhere. It's right here on ESPN 97.5.
Get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink. Go to culturemap.com. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, curveball. Barry's out. Nick's in. But we already told you that. If you're a usual suspect, you'd already know. Jose's behind the glass, doing his best, I guess. He's very frustrated in the fact that he can't show his wealth of knowledge in hip-hop and R&B because of the fact that he is stuck with Way Back Wednesday, and he was just forced to play Scandal. Goodbye to you. Compliments of Nick Sciarra.
Yeah, there's a couple of cheesy ones on the list, but I'm pretty sure
you can't do a goodbye list without cheesy songs, though.
Yeah,
good point.
I figured one or two wouldn't
hurt. You've had your heart broken a few times, right?
Yep.
Yeah. but Trey's still here. So, I mean, the fact of the matter is there's a chance to salvage everything.
I know I'm missing a lot of these tweets because I know I had one from Tim Burgess, but I can't see it now. I don't know where the hell it went. But, yo, Adrian got into a fight with his ex-wife, put his foot through the door, broke his pinky toe. And I'm sure breaking the pinky toe does not feel good. I don't know if he got any hardware, but he said he broke his pinky toe.
Now, my mom, when we were growing up, in our living room, they called it a cobbler's bench. But we had, like, aside from living room furniture, at one end of the living room, right by the front door of the house and one of the main walkways into the living room, we had this very solid wood bench. She broke her pinky toe on that cobbler's bench no less than 5 times.
Oh.
And just hammered it. Like, you know, you come in walking fast with just socks on or whatever and just pow, right into the corner of that thing.
Uh-huh. You know, right around the area where you used to live in Midtown, my friend had a similar, like, spot, and there was like this marble corner that he had that kind of wrapped around the, like when you go up the stairs, there was like on the floor, there was like a marble tile, but it was elevated like a half inch, which was like the dumbest idea. Yeah. And I ran into it, and he said he's broken his pinky toe on that too. So that's just, that's got to be the worst. Anything regarding the toes?
Well, there's worse, but I mean, yeah, that when you do a digit like that,
yeah,
that's going to be a while. But your brother, that x-ray?
Yeah.
I said to you, I mean, do you have to remove the screws?
And
you,
I hope not, for his sake. He was like, dude, there's a screw in my finger. There's 2 screws of them. I'm like, yeah. Don't punch the door, bro.
Below the knuckles, though.
I think so. Like, because that was a good question. And when you look at the picture, it looks so like...
like it's in the middle of a knuckle or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like that. I guess it's just before the knuckle, like in between. You know what I mean? In between the 2 knuckles, I guess, if you will. Yeah.
By the way, on Twitter... I'm getting lots of love from my list already, and let's just glance over the fact that Blake Plaster happens to be one of my ex-interns at the Rockets, but he loves my list, so that's all that matters.
So, yeah, I haven't looked at the text, so the texts usually are...
I haven't either, but that's
they're
also
brutally
because,
honest.
Because of the Yahoo with the ending in 7622 from yesterday. I hope he's on a permanent vacation from this show. I could give a rat's ass. All right, so let's bring him in. It's Who Dat Nation. It's a guy who listens all the time, has plenty to say on Twitter, but can't figure out how to stay on the phone long enough to be a good portion of the call that he needs to be on the show. Clayton, what's up? Clayton, I'm going to buzz you, and you're going to lose this.
Well, you
gotta... I'm just kidding. I'm on. All right. I'm on.
Okay. Because that kidding can get you the dump button.
What up, Clayton?
What up? So I got 2 hardware stories. I got a hand and a broken neck. You want... one, both, or...
We'll start with the neck,
yeah.
The neck, okay, so I was 15 years old, vacationing in Idaho, outside of Yellowstone National Park. I was riding four-wheelers. I was 15, and I was an adrenaline junkie, so I was riding very fast. Came around a blind curve on a trail. There were 2 people walking in the trail, so I went to swerve around them. And anybody who's ever driven an ATV at high speeds knows they don't react very quickly. So I basically shot off the trail and hit a tree head first and broke my 4th vertebrae, shattered it in the back. I was somehow able, I don't know how, to get up, pull the four-wheeler out of the trees and the bushes and the wreckage, and turn it back on and ride it back a mile to the cabin we were staying in. From there, I got a very nerve-wracking 45-minute car ride to the hospital, followed by a life flight to a larger hospital, an emergency 8-hour surgery in which they pulled bone out of my hip and put a plate, 4 rods and 2 screws into my neck.
Oh.
And I walked out of the hospital 3 days later.
Those are specific details. That's why you could tell it's
so,
true.
Time out. So I want to know post-surgery and all of that. How long are you, like, debilitated in, like, a neck brace?
So I was very fortunate. I did not have to have the halo where they put the actual screws in your head and
yeah,
all that.
You don't want
I just had a Velcro neck brace for about 3 months.
So what's so bad with the halo? Like, do you like?
He just told you they literally put screws in your head.
Yeah, but it's like, does it? Well, obviously.
So there's a halo. That's why they call it. There's a metal circle that goes around your head, and then through the halo, the screws go into your head.
Yeah,
not good.
and you're completely immobilized. I mean, the neck brace I was in was immobilizing as well, and you can imagine being a sophomore in high school how much the girls loved to see the neck brace guy. It was pretty embarrassing.
How do you have an emergency 8-hour surgery? That's insane. You just go into the hospital. Oh, this is an emergency, and by the way, you're not going to leave the surgery
they can't
room
prep for it.
For
it. I mean,
that's insane.
They got to do what they got to do. Wow.
Yeah. And again, we were on vacation, and we're somehow able to make the same flight home that we originally booked. Like, no vacation plans.
Like, the altitude change alone would freak me out. Like, it would do something to the surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess if they don't, the alternative, Clayton, was you to look like a bobblehead the rest of your life, just shaking around all over the place because you had no stability in your neck.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny, Clayton. I'm just letting you know. All right, brother, you're back out. You're back off probation. We'll take your calls now. So we appreciate the call.
I didn't hang up early this time.
That's right. Way to hang through to the bitter end, and we'll make sure that we take your call next time. Have a happy holiday if we don't speak to you before the end of the week.
Yeah, we got a text. Joel completely tore my quad and detached from my bone, pretending to ninja fight with my kids. Not cool. Will in Deer Park.
Yikes.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. You're doing something you're really not supposed to. Well, I'm not saying he wasn't supposed to be playing with his kids, but it's just like silly injuries.
All right, silly injuries in sports. I was bringing these up for you. One that I thought Jose would be familiar with, and he's not, but there was a soccer player named Paulo Diago who scored a goal and wanted to jump up into the crowd. Little did he know that there was metal fencing. He got his finger stuck in the fencing as the crowd was pulling him up into the stands and lost the top part of his digit.
Ugh.
That's not something you're going to grow back, FYI.
Yeah.
There's also Glenn Allen Hill, former catcher and designated hitter in the major leagues with the Cubs, amongst others, was deathly afraid of spiders. In the middle of his sound sleep, he woke up having a nightmare about spiders. He not only got cuts all over his arms and feet by shattering a glass table, he then fell down a flight of stairs.
Oh,
that one is up there. We all know the Jeff Kent one because he says he wasn't dirt biking, but he was. There was kicker Bill Gramatica, who celebrated a made field goal by tearing his ACL and jumping up in the air. That one I remember. That was also a good one. And then how about this one? Hockey player Joe Sakic. I think he's up for the Hall of Fame. Joe Sakic was a hell of a hockey player. But, of course, as a hockey player, you're used to winter conditions. Well, his snowblower got stuck, so he decided to put his hand in it to try and unclog the snow. Luckily, he didn't lose the fingers. He just broke all of them. Not a good deal.
Here's one on the text line. This one's from the 409. The day of my Organic Chemistry 2 final in college, I woke up and my dog was laying with me. He looked so cute. I cuddled up to him. He stretched out, scratched my cornea. Very painful. So probably not as gory, but I can see how that can be painful. And then here's another one. Ran under some metal stairs playing as a kid. Caught the side of my head. Had to get staples to close the gash. So a couple of them. And there's a lot more on the text line.
How about this? Astros broadcaster, former Major League pitcher Steve Sparks. He, during spring training, decided to try and tear a telephone book in half and dislocated his shoulder.
A telephone book?
Yeah, a lot of people used to say you could show your strength and by tearing a telephone book in half. He dislocated his shoulder
doing
so.
The telephone book won.
Evidently he did, yeah. You remember the Gus Frerotte one? Gus Frerotte was the quarterback for the Redskins, was going to be the starter. He was celebrating a touchdown, so he headbutted the wall behind the goalpost. Wow. Yeah, and ended up in the process that I want to say like he fractured a vertebrae in his neck.
Oh,
yeah, not good. All right, so we'll continue to roll on. We got one in the books, two to go, plenty more of the big show. NASCAR Johnny, we see you. Chris, we see you. And we're going to continue to roll on. Plenty of guests lined up between now and the end of eternity or the end of the show before we get to the Blitz with Fred and AJ. That means that we'll have Eric Pincus from Basketball Insiders join us at 3:30, talk a little Rockets and NBA. And, of course, at 2:30, John McMullen, ESPN 97.3, a national NFL and Philadelphia Eagles media member that we'll talk to him about some NFL stuff with. So lots of good stuff to go as we continue to roll on. Don't go anywhere. One in the books, two to go. Plenty more of the big show. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at Texas Can Academies. I've been telling you about them for a long time, and I tell you about them for good reason, because you can make a difference in kids' lives in Houston trying to get a second chance at an education, and all you got to do is donate a motor vehicle, whether it's working or not, that they can use as a resource. I know with the hurricane, a lot of you lost vehicles, and now you don't want to pay any extra to have it towed away, especially if it's not working anymore, and here's a solution to that problem. At no charge to you, if you get in touch with Texas Can Academies and tell them what you got and tell them where you live, they'll come to you. They'll tow it away. They'll do the paperwork. You get a tax deduction. You mention ESPN 97.5. You get a $50 gift card. And that's where the process really begins, because your donations are turned into resources for kids trying to get a second chance at an education. That means that if they need to eat something, they'll give them warm meals. If they need a bus pass, they got it. If they need money for books, they're going to take care of that. And if they need eyeglasses, which can be so important, especially with all the reading the kids have to do these days, they'll take care of that as well. Basically, in short, anything that they need can be taken care of because of your donation. So if you can, especially during the holiday season, see fit in your hearts to make a donation to the Houston Can Academies. It really will be worth the time and effort, because it can really help kids in the Houston area. 713-225-4226 or HoustonCarsForKids.com. You call them, they do the rest, and as always, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.